Loving our enemy means more than not hating them or ignoring them. That spirit of indifference is not equivalent to love. Love is vibrant, it's active, it's a positive course of action. Love seeks an enemy's highest good. Love has a practical dimension to it. And if our enemy is hungry, then we feed him. If we have opportunity to minister to him in some way, we do so. And when we do, we are indeed imitating God, who is an indiscriminate lover of all people. There's a powerful story that comes from the pen of Philip Yancey. He tells of Simon Wiesenthal, who survived the German concentration camps and lost 89 members of his family to the Nazis. Since then, Wiesenthal has devoted his life to tracking down former Nazis and war criminals. He has been asked about his obsession. Why hunt men in their 70s and 80s for crimes committed half a century ago? Is there no forgiveness for such people? No reconciliation? Wiesenthal set down his personal answers to such questions in a slim yet powerful book called The Sunflower. Yancey recalls an event that took place during Wiesenthal's imprisonments. He said, Wiesenthal was selected at random from a work detail, yanked aside and taken up a back stairway to a hospital corridor. A nurse led him into a darkened room, then left him alone with a pitiful figure wrapped in white lying on a bed. It was a German officer, badly wounded and covered in yellow-stained bandages. Gauze covered his entire face. In a weak and trembling voice, the officer proceeded to offer a kind of sacramental confession to Wiesenthal. He recounted his boyhood early days in the Hitler Youth Movement. He told of action along the Russian front and of the increasingly harsh measure his SS unit had taken against the Jewish populace. And then he tried to tell of the terrible atrocities when his unit herded all the Jews from one town into a wooden frame building and torched it. Some of the Jews, he says, their clothes and their hair ablaze, leaped in desperation from the second floor, and the SS officers, he among them, shot them as they fell. He started to tell of one child in particular, a young boy with black hair and dark eyes, but his voice gave way. Several times Wiesenthal tried to leave the room, but each time the mummy-like figure would reach out with a cold, bloodless hand and constrain him. Finally, after maybe 2 hours, the officer explained why he had summoned a Jewish prisoner. He had asked the nurse whether there were any Jewish people still living. If so, he wanted one brought to his room for a last rite before death. "I know that what I am asking is almost too much for you," he said, "but without your answer I cannot die in peace." And then he asked for forgiveness for all his crimes against the Jews. He was imploring a prisoner who the next day might die at the hands of SS comrades. Wiesenthal stood in silence for some time, staring at the man's bandaged face. At last he made up his mind, and he left the room without saying a word. He left the soldier in torment, unforgiven. In contrast to Wiesenthal, there was another Jew who had been sinned against. He gathered round him some devout followers and sent them into the world in pursuit of his enemies. Their task was not to arrest the guilty, but to offer them a full pardon in the name of the one whom they had offended, the Lord Jesus Christ.